Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I say back because that's where we were this morning for those of you who were in here, and if you weren't, amen, I'll try to recap a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, man, I've done that all day. It's 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, okay, beginning in verse 1. So stand with me if you would please one last time. I promise not to go any longer than my voice will allow me.
Amen.
Whatever that means, amen. I tried to sound good, but let's read beginning in verse 1. I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's continue tonight with this thought, faith that stands. Faith that stands. Let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. We pray for your help, your strength. I pray, Lord God, for the filling of your Spirit in my heart. And in each listener, Lord, they would be Spirit-filled. I pray, Father, that you would save the lost, that you would strengthen the disciples, that you would do the work that's necessary and meet the need in every heart. Lord, I want to be a help. You know my desire. You know, Lord God, what you've done already in me with this message and these thoughts that you've put in my heart. Help me, Lord, to convey them properly and concisely, Lord, without distraction. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I started off with this thought about a faith that stands. In verse 5, the Bible says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. A faith that stands is going to stand, amen, the test of time. A faith that's going to stand the test of trials. A faith that's going to stand in the face of adversity. A faith that's going to stand in spite of overwhelming odds and opposition. A faith that's going to stand, amen, when the storm winds blow. A faith that stands when other faith in other people fall. A faith that stands firm and strong, listen to me, is going to be a faith that stands not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. That's what we're talking about here tonight. A faith that stands in the power of God. Dearly beloved, listen to me. The power of God is our anchor, our rock, our source, amen, of strength, our shield, our refuge, the power of God Himself, the glory and wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men. I said there's a lot of people today who are standing in the wisdom of men. They're following the wisdom of a man who thinks and claims himself to be somebody, amen, but it's not scriptural. It's not biblical. It's not sound doctrine, and I don't have time to go into all of that, but there's a lot of false teachers, false prophets going out into the world. The spirit of Antichrist has already gone out into this old world, and that started a long time ago. And listen to me, though, there's the wisdom of men. Obviously, we're not talking about dummies. We're not talking about dummies. We're talking about men who have the wisdom to gather a crowd. We're talking about men who have the charisma or the magnetism, so to speak, to gather a crowd, to have a following. And so, but listen to me, dearly beloved, that is not what we need today. That is not what's going to help us and help our country and help our families and help our church and our city. We need a faith that stands in the power of God. In the power of God. A faith that stands. A man, like I said, when so many others are falling. A faith that stands, listen to me, faith is easy when life is easy. Everybody talks about faith. There's an old song, you know, you talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Yep. Amen. But when you go down in the valley, amen, all of a sudden the faith and all that stuff is out the window. I've got to do things my way. Faith that stands is a faith that is what we need, dearly beloved, to get, amen, to the place where we need to be to make a difference in this country, to make a difference in our city, in our country, in our homes, in our own hearts. We've got to have faith that's grounded in the power of God. Yeah. I said this morning, there are some, obviously the Apostle Paul was a man who had faith that was grounded and stood in the power of God. And I said quickly, the message this morning, I'm going to recap it and then we got to move on. There are some results of a faith that stands in the power of God. The first result of the faith that stands in the power of God is in verse 1. Brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you, notice, the testimony of God. Declaring and preaching the declaration of the testimony of God is nothing more than the preaching of the gospel. It's the preaching of the Bible. Amen. Declaring it. Amen. He doesn't even say teaching it. He says preaching, declaring. I'm pushing it forth. I'm promulgating it. I'm preaching the Bible. He says the declaration. Listen, if you have a faith that stands in the power of God, one result, surefire result, dearly beloved, is that you will be, amen, a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. Now, I lost a lot of people this morning right there, and I'm losing some of you already. Folks, but a result of a faith that stands in the power of God is going to be, hey, I'm going to have a life that declares the gospel. I'm going to have lips that declare the gospel. And I'm going to be involved in declaring the testimony of God. What is the testimony of God? It is the testimony of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now listen, you may or may not agree with me, and that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you, but understand something. A faith that stands in the power of God is going to be behind a life that declares the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know that's the only hope we have. Declaration is a result of a faith that stands. Right there, again, I don't have time to belabor the point, but right there, amen, I just eliminated 99% of churches in America.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Don't have a soul winning program. Don't have people that care about souls. Don't have soul winners in their church. Don't tell anybody about Jesus. God forbid we stand up and proclaim and declare, hey man, the testimony of God is that Jesus Christ died for sinners because you and me are hell bound, unworthy, and undeserving of anything, and our only hope is the grace of God Almighty. That's the testimony of God.
Amen.
I just eliminated 99% of churches and, sadly, believers. Some of you have never told anybody about Jesus. Right here in this room. I'm not trying to be ugly. But folks, we've got to have a faith that stands in the power of God. Or we're not going to make a difference in this country, in this world, in our own life. Our own families are not going to see a difference. Listen, there's not going to be anything change if we don't have a faith that stands in the power of God. Many people have a faith that stands in the wisdom of men. And by the way, folks, that's not salvation.
Right.
If your testimony of salvation is somebody told you something that they thought and they heard and you saw something and felt something, and there's no Bible in there, folks, that's not salvation.
Amen. That's right.
That's the wisdom of man.
Amen.
Number two, result of a faith that stands in the power of God is I'm going to declare the testimony of God in spite of my disabilities. Verse 3, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Understand something, the Apostle Paul was not a sinless man.
Right.
He was not some kind of a supernatural superhero.
Right.
He feared. He trembled. He was weak in his body and his flesh many times. Amen. We don't know exactly, but he had a thorn in his flesh. He was not a commanding presence. He was not somebody that you would say, wow. And when he walked by, you would just stop and look and listen to everything. No, that wasn't it at all.
Right.
He was afraid. He says, I was afraid. I even trembled in fear. But his disabilities did not stop him because his faith was grounded and stood in the power of God.
Amen.
I've got so many disabilities. I can't re-preach the message. You should have, amen, get the tape or something. But notice, tape. Listen to me, man. What's a tape? Brother Chris, do you know what a tape is? Duct tape. I know, not duct tape. Amen. Okay, see, I mean, it's not a tape. Amen. It's online. Now, there you go. Anyway, let's move on. Declaration, amen, in spite of my disabilities, and then there will be a demonstration, verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in, notice, demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Power. See, when folks, listen to me. If you'll just keep declaring the testimony of God in spite of your disabilities, you will see demonstration of God's power. You know, this morning, one of those four young people that got saved was Miss Squires over here, Sister Dorothy's great-granddaughter.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know how long we've been praying for that family? Yep. To just come to church, for one thing. And then, not only did they come to church, but they finally start bringing their kids, and lo and behold, of course, amen, they got saved.
Amen.
See, that's a demonstration of God's power. God said, let me show you, amen, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
I still use sinners like you. Amen. Thank God. Not because I'm, like I said, we're not superpower. Amen. We're just declaring the testimony of God in spite of our disabilities. And this morning we were able to see some demonstration of God's power.
Amen.
This very morning, while I was in here preaching the message, God was back there demonstrating it. Amen. In junior church. One of these days I'm going to go preach junior church and you come preach in here. No, I had my day in junior church, amen. But listen to me, how we need preachers like that, again,
amen,
who just kept preaching in spite of their disabilities, in spite of their weaknesses, in spite of their fears, in spite of their trembling, amen. I can't tell you how many times I've come up here and said, Lord, I'm sitting over there, you know, while we're singing that last song, and I'm thinking, I don't want to preach this. Now, sometimes I'm thinking, Lord, sure there's not something else in here. Sure, Lord, there's all kinds of things. Surely you can give me something else. You say, preacher, do you really do that? Yeah. But you know, that would be the wisdom of man.
Right.
Yeah. You don't need to hear from me.
Amen.
Right.
I don't want to hear from me. Amen. We need to hear from God. We need preachers that will just stand up and preach what God gives them. We need soul winners that will just go out and win souls to Christ. Amen. In spite of their weaknesses. In spite of their disability. We need, amen, we need people that just to have a desire to stand in the power of God. Our shallow presentation of the gospel today, we live in sin and in all kinds of rebellion, and then we say, well, Lord, let's go see if we can't win somebody to Christ.
Come on. Help us preach.
We do what we want to do, and then we say what we want to say, we go where we want to go, and then we show up in church and we say, okay, Lord, use me today. Folks, I'm trying to get you to see there's more to life. That's a faith that's grounded in the wisdom of man is worthless.
Yeah.
It won't stand.
Right.
It won't stand. So much of our preaching in America today has become so weak, so ineffective. So much of our soul winning today has become weak and ineffective because it's standing in the wisdom of man. The results, though, of a life that's standing, a faith that's standing in the power of God, number one, amen, the results are declaration of the gospel. Number two, in spite of my disabilities. And number three, there'll be demonstration of God's power. Now, listen, that's been proven time and time again.
Right.
Now, what I want to go to tonight is the reasons, some reasons, okay, that this man, Paul, had such a faith. How did Paul have such a faith that stood in the power of God? Because, listen to me, not everybody does.
Right.
Number one, quickly, he made a decision. Oh, now I know that's going to take you a while to swallow that, isn't it? That's profound, isn't it? You wait for something like some lightning bolt from heaven. No, he made a decision.
Amen.
He made a decision. Look in verse 2. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to get through this, but life is full of decisions.
Right.
I mean, you made a decision to come to church tonight, thankfully. Thank God for it. Every day you make decisions. Paul knew that, hey, this battle for souls was real. Paul knew this battle against Satan was real. Paul knew this battle against his own disabilities is real. Paul knew that, and so he decided, hey, I've got to do it God's way. I've got to do it God's way. Paul knew that souls were perishing in hell. Paul knew that folks were dying and going to hell by the second, by the bucket loads. So he decided, listen, I got to have God's power.
Hey.
If that would be a good start.
Amen.
For us to just make a decision tonight. I've got to have God. Listen, I don't have enough power. I don't have what I need. None of us do. I don't care what you think. We don't have what we need.
Yeah.
We don't. I don't have what I need. I hate that. I hate it. And Paul knew it. He said, I have fears, I have weakness, I have trembling. I don't have what I need. I've got to have God's power.
Amen.
When you make a decision, Paul knew he was weak. Paul knew he was beggarly. His presence was not, like I said, tall and commanding. Amen. He decided, I've got to have God's power for this ministry. Notice, number one, the explanation of this decision. He said, I've determined in verse 2 not to know. Now, he's making a decision not to know. The word know is used, this word is used 669 times in the Bible. Let me give you some synonyms here of this word know, to be aware of. To see, to behold, to consider, to understand. Now let me read that verse with some of those synonyms plugged in there. He says, I have determined not to be aware of anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He says, I have determined not to see anything among you. I have determined not to behold anything among you. I have determined not to consider anything among you save I have determined not to understand anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now think about that. That sounds crazy. But notice he's making a decision here that nothing else matters.
That's right.
I knew that before I, and I'm still, listen, before I think there's some trembling in my bosom right about now, because this is not going to tickle your ears. This is not going to entertain you tonight. I'm not going to be unkind at all. I love you, and I think you know that by now, but we do not have the power of God that we need.
Amen. That's right. Right.
If you sit there and think you do, you really need to listen.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Amen.
He made a decision. Notice, again, the explanation was, I determined not to even consider those things. Notice the extent. He says, anything. I determined not to know anything among you. Okay, he's literally saying, let me say it to you this way. He's literally saying, I've decided not to know or even consider anything of this world.
Yeah.
Stay with me now. Understand something. God is a God of extremes. John 3:16 is a verse of two very extreme opposites. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are two very extreme opposites.
Right.
Amen. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. I mean, you can't get much more extreme opposite than that. God is a God of extremes, dearly beloved. And Paul understood that. And he said, listen, the extent of my decision is I have decided not to focus, not to understand, or even consider the things of this world that are, the world says is important. Now, Paul was not a man who followed the latest headlines in the news. Let this fall, please, where it needs to fall tonight. Paul was not a man who cared and who dwelt on what was going on in politics. Paul was not a man who followed the local sports teams.
Yeah, come on. Bring it on, brother.
Paul was not a man who was busy in everybody else's business on social media.
All right. Amen.
According to this verse, and the life of Paul that you can study it out through the scriptures. He was not even aware of anything that was even going on outside of the scope of his ministry.
Right.
Now you say, preacher, now again, I know what you're thinking. That's ridiculous. That's extreme. Obviously, let me state some things here before I go any further. He made tents. Remember, he was a tent maker. Sometimes he had to make tents to have something to eat.
Right.
He would make those tents and sell. So obviously he knew things, for example. He's not saying he was an ignorant man. He's not saying he was an uneducated man, amen. What he's saying, however, is that when he was forced to look upon anything of this life or the thing of this world, amen, listen, his ministry was weakened. The power of God on his life was weakened. Hold your place here and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Please don't shut me out right now, because I this will help you if you'll just listen. Just listen. Right. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Philippians 3, verse 4. Though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, verse 6, look, which is in the law, notice, blameless. Paul had a lot going for him before he got saved. He knew a lot. He spoke three languages. He was very well educated. He was in line for the Sanhedrin Council. He was a very wealthy, knowledgeable man. He was not an idiot. He says in verse 7, though, this is what I'm trying to get you to see. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What is he saying here? He's saying, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things.
Amen.
And do count them but dung, D-U-N-G, that I may win Christ, that I may have his power, that I may have his presence, that I may be, my faith may stand in his power, because there are souls that are dying and going to hell around me every day. It's not that he didn't know anything. He just made a decision that he was no longer going to live for that stuff that didn't matter. That's what it was. He didn't say, I don't know anything about that. He said, I have determined not to know.
That's
right.
See, I understand laymen have to work jobs. Of course you do. I understand parents have to raise children. Of course you do. I understand children have to get an education.
Amen.
Of course you do. Right?
Amen.
Education. I know all that. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Paul's saying. These things are unavoidable in life. Listen to me. But we cannot, we must not let them take the place of the truth and what really matters. We've got to keep them in proper perspective. We must always remember that these things cannot and must not rule our lives.
Right.
We must listen. And we can, and we must minimize the things that we look upon that are of this world. Minimize the things that we consider, study, understand, and become familiar with that don't have anything to do with truth. Hold your place now. We'll go in 1 Corinthians. Go with me now to Romans, just one book back, Romans 16. Let me show you something here. We'll go to Romans 16, verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Paul says, I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But he says, but. He says, I'm glad you're obeying. Listen now, are y'all there? Romans 16, 19. He says, I'm glad you're obeying. Now look, what preacher wouldn't be glad his people are obeying the Bible? Of course, amen. That's good, but listen to me. He says, but that's not good enough. Look now in verse 19. But, he says, yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil.
Amen.
He says, I'm glad you're obeying. And listen, of course, that's a good step, a good start. But he says, but you're too wise unto the things that are evil. He says, I would rather you be wise unto those things that are good and simple concerning evil. What do you mean? You don't need to know so much about that stuff.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
You don't need to know so much about sin.
Amen.
And sinful lifestyles.
Right.
And the drugs and all the idiotic things that are going on around you in this world. You don't need to be looking at that stuff on your phone.
Amen.
You don't need to be listening to that conversation, and you certainly don't need to be participating in that conversation. Listen, I know how it is when you're at work. I know those things. You get to work and people, they're talking about everything under the sun, and you know, dear God, that stuff is such a waste. Their lives are wasting away.
Amen.
And they're so interested in everything this world has to offer. They're like Bartimaeus, amen, sitting by the roadside. Just give me whatever you can give me. I'll take whatever this world has to offer. And you hear that, and I remember those days. You think, man, these people are wasting their lives.
Oh, preach. Yeah.
They're living, they have nothing, they're living for nothing. They're going nowhere, and they're doing it for no reason. I mean, it's just a waste.
Yeah.
But they know everything about evil.
Yeah.
They know everything about evil. They don't know Genesis from Revelation. But dearly beloved, listen, how much do you know about the good,
good
compared to the evil?
Yeah.
That's what Paul's saying.
Right.
He said, I determined, I decided, I'm not going to spend my life learning everything about sin and evil and wickedness. I'm going to live my life learning about that which is good and true and holy and righteous. And you know, it was a decision, Brother Josh. It was a decision, Brother Evan. It's a simple decision that he made based on what he had seen and experienced in his life. Look in Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 4. You see, the more you know about the Bible, the better. Amen?
Amen?
The more you know about where the books of the Bible are, the better.
Amen.
That's exactly what I'm teaching and preaching tonight. That's Isaiah 4, verse 22. He says, God says, for my people is foolish. Foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. Isn't that a great word? Sottish means silly. It's a picture of a little schoolgirl giggling at something silly that her little schoolgirl friend did. Sottish. Isn't that a great word? That's the only thing you'll learn tonight. Sottish. You're a sottish child. No, I'm just kidding. Look at the verse. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. Now wait a minute. We all know they are wise to do evil. But to do good, they have no knowledge. Wow. They know everything the world knows. They can converse with anybody and everybody in the world. They can keep, you know, they can keep a conversation with whatever they're talking about. Yeah, I know that. I've been there. I've done that. I've experienced that. But yet, when it comes to the Bible, knowing where the book of Jeremiah even is,
right?
Yeah.
They don't know. God says, these are my people.
Right.
Now, folks, listen, again, don't get mad at me. But this is what's going to help you have your faith standing in the power of God.
Amen.
You've got to decide, hey, I'm going to know more about God and God's Word and God's Word and truth and His power than I am about the things of the world.
Right.
Folks, I'm telling you, we're coming to a place in America where God's people, for the vast majority of God's people, they do not know anything about anything more about God than the rest of the world. Now, that's okay for a while.
Right.
Okay, that's okay for a while. But if you're saved, and your faith is going to stand in the power of God, and you're going to declare the testimony of God, and you're going to be able to see some demonstration of God's power, in spite of your own disabilities, which is, by the way, we all have them. You're going to have a desire. You must have a desire, and you must make a decision. Lord, I am going to spend more time studying that which is good and a lot less, if no time, studying that which is evil.
Right.
I determine not to know, what's the next word? Anything.
Amen.
Again, I told you, God is a God of extremes.
Now,
I have to know, obviously, I have to know certain things. Again, don't misunderstand me. We're not idiots here. But why do you know so much more about the things of the world? Grow in grace and knowledge. Study the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Boy, that's a lot of approval. That's a big thing to achieve, to be approved unto God. That's a whole lot of studying. That's a whole lot of doctrine in that book. There's a whole lot of things that God has to say. Hey, man, we need to be sponges. We need to be the students of the Word of God. We need to know more about the Bible. We need to answer questions based on what God says. We need to make decisions based on what God says, not on what the world thinks.
Amen.
It's a decision.
Right.
He said, I have determined. He made a decision.
Yes, sir.
That was the first reason. Now listen. The second thing. Go back now to 1 Corinthians. The second thing that's going to help you after you make that decision. I hope you already have. Amen.
Amen.
The second thing is going to be, number two, how he handled distractions. How he handled distractions. Verse 2 says, I have determined not to know anything among you. So apparently, according to this verse, there were many distractions already in Paul's life. So many things were coming into his life and his mind and his spirit. And he said, listen, I've got to determine. I've decided that I'm going to know nothing. I'm not going to spend all my time trying to figure all these things out. But he handled the distractions properly. Listen to me. When you make a decision like this for God, you've got to be aware of the fact that there are going to come bombarding you, amen, like a flood of evil.
Yeah.
Distractions.
Right.
Things that are going to come into your life, and all they're doing is competing for your attention, competing for the mind that God has given you. God says we are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And we are to bring into captivity every thought, right. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, that is extreme, I know, but that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
I've got to make a decision. I'm going to not know. I'm not going to consider and spend my time studying and trying to figure out everything that everybody else knows and everybody's talking about. I'm going to just study and learn and grow and focus and consider and understand the things of God.
Amen.
And here comes the distractions. Absolutely, you better believe it.
Right.
You better believe it. And the distractions are going to come and bombard you in one place in particular, and that is in your mind.
Right. Yes, sir.
Your mind. Look with me in Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 8. A verse that must become elementary, absolutely substantial. Must be a life-changing verse. It needs to be something that we all meditate on, chew on, consider, study, understand. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, he says. Now, don't you love that? He's not done yet, but amen. So I can say finally now, but anyway, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. Notice the word things over and over and over. And notice what he, and remember what he said in 1 Corinthians 2, I had determined not to know any thing. So this is exactly what he's talking about.
Amen.
This is just another epistle to another group of people, but it's still the same Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he's still building on the same thought. He says, brethren, Christians. It's not just for preachers.
Right.
He says, brethren, you have got to think on, number one, things that are true.
Amen.
The word true in this verse means not concealing, not a cover up.
Amen.
Not a lie.
Right.
We fill our minds with lies.
Right.
Dishonest things that are not true.
Yeah.
They're not real. They're a deception. We live in fantasy world.
Yeah.
The very first thing that God says you got to think about and think on these things. By the way, that means you don't think on anything else.
Right.
True. He says, whatsoever things, number two, are honest. This means worthy of giving our honor to. Honorable. I tell you what, folks, this is going to do some damage to what you watch on television.
Yeah.
Yeah. All. Right.
This is going to do a great bit of damage. If you care at all, this is going to have to change your understanding and your thinking about what I'm looking at on the internet.
Sure.
Right. That's right. Amen.
About who I'm hanging out with.
Right.
He says, I don't even want you to think about things that aren't true.
Preach.
I don't even want you to think about things that aren't worthy of you honoring and giving your honor to. Verse 8, number 3, just. It says, whatsoever things are just. That means innocent and holy. Innocent and holy. Wow. It sounds like I've got to live in a convent or something. In a cave. Well, again, I understand this is not going to be completely possible in this world. But I have got to control as much as I can what comes into my mind. If it doesn't line up with these eight things, it's a distraction.
Right.
If it doesn't line up with these eight things, it's a distraction. It says, whatsoever things are pure. That means chaste, clean, hey, modest. Modest. Whatsoever things are lovely. That means acceptable to God. And friendly toward you. That means, it says in verse, again, next it says of good report. Whatsoever things are of good report. Well spoken of. And reputable. Now, I'm not talking about what the world thinks is reputable.
Right.
What does God say? What is well spoken of according to God's word?
Amen.
Now, I could just hammer away on so many things. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit do the work here tonight. Because you know where your mind is.
That's
right.
Amen.
Whatsoever things are lovely, of good report. It says also virtue, if there be any virtue. It's excellence due to courage and valor. It's power, really. But it's something that's excellent according to God because of its courage and its valor. We read these mission letters. Those are the heroes.
Yeah, right.
I understand our military and our law enforcement and all of our civil servants. They're wonderful, but listen, dearly beloved, they're not more of a hero than a soul winner.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You think that that person is a hero who saves a baby from a fire, that baby's still going to live and die and go to hell. But a missionary is saving from eternal fire. But see, our minds, we don't think right. Brother Max, Brother DeShazo, Brother Samuel, Brother Josh and his family, and those guys that work on that bus ministry, and Brother Benning, ride out and pick up those kids at 8:30 in the morning, bring them back to this church, teach those Sunday school classes, deal with those attitudes, and Miss Brittany, and preach the gospel to them, and sit in that room and lead them to the Lord. That is the greatest hero in the world!
Amen.
I try,
brother.
Because it's pure, it's true,
yes,
it's honest,
yes,
it's lovely, it's of good report,
yes,
it's just. The reason that we come to church, in this church anyway, and we sing praises unto God, is because it's true, it's honest,
amen,
it's just, and we don't rock and roll.
Amen.
We don't rap.
Amen.
Because it's pure, it's good report, it's lovely, it's just. It's the reason you cannot, amen, be in leadership in this church and look like the world is because it's not pure, it's not just, it's not holy, it's not true, it's not honest.
Right.
And I don't want children coming in here looking at you and thinking wrong thoughts.
Amen.
This is church.
Yes, sir.
Right, come on.
If we can't control what we think about in here, dearly brother, where are we going to go?
Right, come on.
Right.
You see, God has a reason for these things.
Amen.
He says, think on the, look what it says. If there be any praise, think on these things.
Right.
Does what you're thinking on right now praise and honor God? Because what you're going to think on tomorrow, praise. You said, preacher, I know. Don't miss out. I know all that. But you can control it more if you'll try.
Right.
That's right.
When you go to work and you hear those people talking about those things, it ought to be absolutely disgusting to you. It ought to be absolutely vile. It ought to be something that you cannot wait to get away from.
Right.
Preach.
Try.
Come on.
That's what I mean. Because your mind is filled with truth and honesty and purity and justice and right and holiness. You see what I'm talking about?
Amen. Try.
You can't be comfortable hanging around people whose minds are filled with everything opposite to this.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what Paul is talking about. I'm talking about, remember what we're saying, a faith that stands in the power of God. A faith that declares the testimony of God in spite of my disabilities. Amen. And lets God work and demonstrate His power. And I get to see God do something special. It's because it starts way back here. I make a decision, but then I've got to handle distractions properly. Because everything that comes in your mind from this world is directly opposed to these eight things.
Right. Yep.
Eight things that are distractions that will keep you from distractions. Eight is the number of new beginnings in the Bible.
Amen.
New beginnings. Your Christian life will become new if you'll listen to me tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
Your Christian life will be fresh and new. I don't care how long you've been saved, if you'll listen to what the Bible's saying tonight. Think on these things. Anything else is a distraction, and you've got to get rid of it. Cast it down. Get rid of it in your house. You can't listen. You get rid of it in your life. Get rid of it because it's not what you're supposed to be thinking. It's a distraction.
Right.
He says, I have determined not to know anything. And then he says, all of these things are what I am going to know.
Right.
Everything else is a distraction. You would have revival. If you would clean up your mind. Paul was determined. He made a decision. He handled distractions. How did he handle distractions? By thinking on things that were right.
Amen.
True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue and praise. It's a mind of a believer that desires the power of God.
Amen.
He made a decision. He handled distractions. And the last one goes back to the first one. He was determined.
Amen.
You see, when I make a decision, distractions come. I've got to be determined to get back to my decision.
Right. Yes, sir.
Wow, that's profound, isn't it? The Bible's pretty practical, y'all.
Yeah, right.
Pretty practical.
Thank you, Lord.
I make a decision for God. Obviously, the world's going to bombard me with distractions. But when that happens, I'm going to be determined. Nope, I'm determined. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to get back to my decision.
Yeah.
Why? Again, don't miss the point, because I need the power of God.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
My faith, if your faith is going to stand, I said this morning, most people's faith is staggering at best. But if your faith is going to stand, it's going to have to be in the power of God.
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
That stands. Declaring the testimony of God. Men mock, let them mock. Your own flesh says, that's ridiculous. Don't do that anymore. Don't listen to it.
Amen.
Because that's not true.
Right.
That's not something that's true and honest and pure. You see what I mean? This is a wonderful example of a person that just lives for God in spite of what this world throws in their direction. Listen, we have a church, for the most part, dearly beloved, that is trying to stand in this power. I want to finish this message with a word of encouragement and a word of praise, really.
Amen.
for what God is doing here.
Amen.
See, Paul declared the testimony of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a demonstration of God's power in spite of his human disabilities because he made a decision and he stuck with it. There's a lot of people in this room tonight who can say, and I can say, that's your heart. And you know, I want you to understand something. There are other people that see that. This says, Pastor Fall, thank you for your gracious example of hospitality. Thank you for the delicious meals. We so appreciate the labor in preparing them and cleaning up. Thank you also for hosting the missions conference. The warmth, listen now, listen. The warmth and welcome by your people was refreshing.
Amen.
Worshiping the Lord with you was a blessing.
Amen.
That's not because your mind was in the world.
Right.
Listen, this is a thank you card, which is very appropriate for someone who comes to a missions conference and leaves and gets goodies. But listen, this is not a generic missions card, thank you card.
Right.
Some of them I get, I think, well, They didn't put much thought into that. But folks, understand something. This person was writing from her. This was Miss Coy. Stacy, remember Brother Reese Parfit and his betrothed bride, amen? Stacy and then her mom, and they were from Michigan and New York, or no, Michigan. Well, this is from Stacy's mom, from Michigan. And that's what she's saying. She's saying, it was refreshing. The warmth and welcome by your people and worshiping the Lord with you was a blessing. Now, if you remember those people, they did not look, smell of the world at all.
Right.
They looked completely detached and separated from the world. And folks, all I'm trying to get you to see is they felt comfortable here. They were blessed by being here.
Amen.
It's not because we're superheroes. But what I'm preaching tonight is because somebody, a few of you, have gotten a hold of what I'm trying to preach tonight. I'm trying to encourage you that have, and I'm trying to exhort you that haven't. Your faith is not going to stand if you don't get a hold of this power of God that I'm talking about. You're not going to stand. You may have stood for a while, but you're not going to stand in the wisdom of man. It's got to be in the power of God.
Amen.
This is from Brother Hall and his wife. It says, Pastor Fogg at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, thank you very much for allowing us to be a part of your missions conference and now your missions family. You folks went above and beyond in your conference and your care of us. Now look around you. Look around you. Is this a big church? Is there lots of people everywhere today, tonight? No.
Thank you, Lord.
But you see, this world is looking for big churches and exciting youth groups and fun and frolic.
Come on, preach it, brother.
Yep.
But that's the wisdom of man.
That's right.
He says, you folks went above and beyond. Thank you for the beautiful room, the meals, the snacks, and the treats. Thank you for the generous love offering. It was a tremendous help to us. Now, but listen to this. Listen, all of that is generic. Okay, that's generic.
Right.
But then listen, this comes from his heart. The spirit of Amazing Grace Baptist Church was fabulous.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the
Lord. And folks, it was a tremendous missions conference. I think probably the best we've ever had.
Amen.
Not just because of the money, but I'm saying just the spirit.
Amen.
But that spirit, listen to me, other people come in and it affects them. It helps them. It revives and encourages them. It's not because our minds are thinking about Facebook. Okay? It's not because our minds are thinking about television. That's not going to create a great, tremendous spirit in our church of revival. That other people can see.
Yeah.
Other people are changed by being here.
Yeah.
Other people are changed by being here.
Yeah.
The spirit of Amazing Grace Baptist Church was fabulous. Listen to what he says. Not every church is prayed up and in tune with the Lord like y'all were.
Amen.
I didn't tell him to write that. He's not getting extra love offering for that. He says, thank you for your love, listen now, and heart for the Lord.
Amen.
Some of you are trying and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't give up.
Amen.
Don't let down.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let the distractions take and get the best of you.
Amen.
Some of you are still not exactly understanding what I'm talking about. Listen, there's more to the Christian life than just being saved.
Amen.
There's a power of God that's available to Amen. God's children who will decide that I am not going to let the distraction of this world take me away from God and His Word.
Amen.
And then God builds a church
Amen.
Of people, like-minded, working, striving together for the gospel. And then people come in from Arkansas and Michigan and Hall, and they say, wow, wow. It was a tremendous blessing to be with you and your people.
Amen.
Folks, that's God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's God's power.
Yes, sir.
Miss Dorothy's little grandchild, Christina? Christina?
Christy.
That's God.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
It's all God.
That's right.
Brian and Brene, and then what?
Sierra?
No, Soraya. Soraya. That's God.
Amen.
We didn't bring those kids in on the bus just to give them candy and entertain them. Samuel went back there. Now, Brother Max, Brother Josh, did he preach? Okay. Okay. Y'all tell me if he doesn't preach. But I think I know better. He went back there with a message from God on his heart. Miss Claudia and Miss Fogg went out Tuesday night with something from God for the people. You see, it's because their minds are not focused and filled and concerned and worried about politics and White House and government and social media and money. And it's because, listen, I've got to have God's power.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
And listen, and God demonstrated it to us.
Yeah.
In that conference was a revival for me.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But some of you didn't get it.
Come on.
You didn't get it. And I'm trying to plead with you. There's more to Christian life than just being saved. There is a real power of God.
Amen.
If you'll just make a decision. Handle your distractions by thinking on things, replacing them things with what is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, of praise and good report. And get a hold of God and make that decision daily. Determine, I'm not going to know all that junk. I'm going to know Jesus Christ
Amen.
And Him crucified. Our Heavenly Father tonight, that's the message. Lord, I thank You for Your people, Your church. Thank You, God, for the blessings of the day. Thank You, God, for the power that You still have today. Your Word,